Well, good morning to all of you on this beautiful, beautiful morning that the Lord has blessed us with. Along with Charlie, I too want to welcome everyone here, especially our visitors, and we hope you'll come back each and every chance you get. Now, brethren, there are some sermons that need to be preached over and over during a period of time, and this is one of them. I last preached this sermon back in September of 2014. You may remember it as we go along. But I hope none of us ever get to the point that we take the local church or the local congregation for granted. We must remember that God is the one who set this system up, not man. Identification with the local church was a practice of New Testament days, and one example is seen in Acts 9, verse 26, which says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples." Now I ask you, do we all know and appreciate the blessings of being a part of a congregation that is a working congregation, that is a congregation that is at peace, a congregation that loves each other, and most importantly, a congregation that loves the Lord? Do we appreciate these blessings? I believe we have that here at Prairie Village. I really do. So I ask you, do we really appreciate this? In order to realize this blessing, we need a sense of obligation to Prairie Village, the body of Christ here. If you have not placed membership or been identified with a local congregation, then you must do so to be in the faith. If there's anyone here this morning who desires to become a member of the Prairie Village Church of Christ, or if there's anyone here this morning that has left the Prairie Village congregation and wants to come back and work with this congregation, God has made provisions for you to do either or both. So let's spend our time this morning talking about the local church and what I owe to it, or what you and I owe to it. I ask you to open your Bibles and follow along with me, if you will. You may want to go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts the 8th chapter. We'll be there in a few minutes. Acts the 8th chapter. Now in the New Testament, the church is spoken of in two senses. It is first spoken of in a universal sense, referring to all of the saved. The Hebrew writer referred to it as the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. That's in Hebrews 12, verse 23. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," in Matthew 16, 18, it was of the church in the universal sense that he was speaking. When Paul speaks of being baptized into one body, he was speaking of the church universally. In Acts 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So when an individual renders his or her obedience to the gospel and receives remission of their sins, they are added by the Lord to the church in the universal sense to the body of the saved. Now look with me at Acts, chapter 8, if you would. In verse 35 we read, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." So when the eunuch came up out of the water, he was saved and added to the one body of the saved, the church in the universal sense. Now, this body of Christ, this church in the universal sense, has no obligation to meet together, has no authority to appoint worldwide officers, it has no authority to collect a treasure or to do anything as a collective body. It does exist solely as a spiritual entity, and that denotes spiritual connection. Now, the Bible indicates that only the Lord knows the number of its members, and only He can add to or take away their names from that list, which would be the same as in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'd like for you to come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would, and let's read together this passage. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, Paul wrote in verse 19, he wrote, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal." Now listen now, "the Lord knoweth them that are his." If you would turn quickly over to Revelation 3 and verse 5 with me. Revelation 3 and verse 5 tells us, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now, there are individual activities that we are to do because of our relationship to Christ in this universal body. I am a Christian, part of the universal church, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And every action in my life should reflect who and what I am. As a Christian, I vote, I work, I function as a citizen of my country, I perform as a husband and a father, and I do all the other activities, always, always realizing that Christ lives in me. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul wrote in Galatians 2 and chapter 2 and verse 20 these beautiful words. He said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." But there's beautiful words. All of this related to the universal church and the Christian's place in it is true. But there is another sense in which the word church is used in the New Testament. That is as the local sense, or as in local or local congregation. We read of the churches of God, which is at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. We read of Paul receiving support from churches in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 8. We read of the churches of Galatia, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. Now, all of this indicates locality, speaking of a church in the local sense as a local congregation. Now, I may leave one local congregation as I move to another city or place and join another there while never ceasing to be a Christian nor ceasing to be a member of the church in the universal sense. We read, and I want us to look at Acts 9 and verse 26. Well, we read in Acts 9 and verse 26, we see Paul here seeking to join himself to the disciples in Jerusalem when he says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. He was to become a member of that local church there in Jerusalem. He was seeking to identify with the local church there. It is clear from the New Testament that God expects all Christians to belong to a local congregation and to worship and work within that group. God expects this. Now, there are responsibilities that I have as a member of a local church that are additional to the ones that I have as a member of the universal church. So the question to you is, what then do I owe the local church of which I am a member? What do I owe the congregation here at Prairie Village? Well, the first thing I'd like to mention is this. As a member of Prairie Village, I owe this congregation the same kind of allegiance that I give to the Lord, because Prairie Village is the body of Christ in this place. Now, you know what, brethren? This may shock you. But in a local congregation, or any local congregation, there are people who are not perfect. There are people not perfect. As a matter of fact, everybody in every local congregation is not perfect. But I have to be able to remember that the church is a divine institution made up of humans, and that there are going to be problems from time to time because of this truth. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I think of a church having troubles, I think of the Corinthian church. Now, brethren, if you know anything, if you read the Corinthians, you know that this was a congregation with some serious, serious problems. I'm going to go through these problems chapter by chapter. In chapter 1, we read about a bad case of preacheritis. In chapter 5, we read of incest being tolerated in the church at Corinth. In chapter 6, it is a sad story of brethren going to law or going to court against one another. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, there's marriage problems. In chapters 8 and 10, there was problems some were having making the complete separation with understanding from idolatry. In chapter 9, some were denying Paul's apostleship. In chapter 11, they were abusing the Lord's Supper. In chapters 12 through 14, they were abusing the miraculous spiritual gifts, demonstrating pride and a lot of other improper attitudes. In chapter 14 again, the problem of women acting out of place in the assemblies. And in chapter 15, some were denying the resurrection. Now, my friends, this was a congregation with problems, some very serious, serious problems. But Paul didn't give up on it and go running away because of its internal struggles. No, he chose to seek to work out their serious problems and to help them correct their sins. He addressed them as the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So indeed, the Bible teaches the necessity of being in fellowship with other Christians in a local congregation. That's why we have gospel meetings. That is why we go to gospel meetings. There is no such thing in the New Testament as a floating membership. I seriously doubt that under normal circumstances, God recognizes as faithful one who refuses to settle down with a local group. Neither is there any such thing as a membership back home. It is simply not scriptural to attend one congregation for years while claiming membership somewhere else. We need local church membership because we need the association with the saints, and we see that in Acts 2:42. We need oversight of the elders, Acts 20 and verse 28. We need scriptural discipline, Galatians 6 verses 1 and 2. We need collective worship, Acts 20 and verse 7. And we need service in the church, Ephesians 3 verses 20 and 21. And we receive many blessings from our membership in a local church. However, these benefits come only as we discharge our obligations as ministers, as members. As members, we must make sure that the truth is taught. Ephesians 5 and verse 14. As members, we are told to obey the elders. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. As members, we ought to live righteous as example to others. Matthew the 5th chapter verses 14 through 16. As members, we need to admonish our brethren, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. As members, we are commanded to maintain unity and harmony, Ephesians 4 verses 1 through 3. As members, we should give of our means, 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2. And as members, we are asked to participate in the program of work here, the teaching program and so on, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. And as members, we are required to attend all the assemblies possible. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Secondly, I owe to the body of Christ here at Prairie Village the exhortation that we all mutually need to remain strong and steadfast. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 with me, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Most of us know Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 24, which says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Oh, brethren, let me tell you, there are so many obstacles in our walk with the Lord. Each of us can become so discouraged. Each of us can weaken a little bit and get tired. But you know what? The Lord knew that. He knew that, and he made provisions in the local church for us to help one another. It is so interesting to me that even animals in nature, that there is a strength and protection in numbers. Did you know that when quail nest, they do so on the ground in a circle, several of them together and protecting one another? Well, I don't mind telling you that many are the times when I need the help of those of like precious faith. It's a tremendous blessing that we fail to receive, and a tremendous blessing that we fail to provide when we do not come, when we fail to be with other Christians, exhorting and being exhorted. And as you know, the world is in constant, it is constant in its exhortation through television, radio, the worldliness of fellow employees, just the sinful environment to which we expose daily. The world is like a river running over a stone of faith. It can just slowly wear it away, and we need to have it constantly renewed. And my brethren at Prairie Village need it, and so do I. Third, I owe Prairie Village faithful attendance to its work. Now this includes participation in all of its efforts, but especially so in opportunities to worship. Now, we did not continue in our reading of Hebrews 10 just a moment ago, but we certainly could have gone on and read verses 25 and 27, and I'd like to do that now. Hebrews 10, verse 25 and 27. The Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." Did you notice something here? Did you notice that just to decide not to attend an assembling of ourselves is called sinning willfully? Did you notice that? Did you notice that when you decide not to come to church, the Lord says you're sinning willfully? When you don't come to church when you should and when you could, you're sinning willfully in God's eyes. Think about that. Show me a 1 hour only a week Christian, and you'll be looking at a Christian who could be a whole lot stronger than he or she is. And from the ranks of those who attend but 1 hour a week, or maybe just an hour a month or whatever, don't come elders, I can assure you that. They don't come teachers or preachers, I can guarantee you that. They cannot be depended on for any kind of work on a regular basis. And Paul exhorted us in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. I know most of you know this passage. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Such individuals are steadfast only in their lack of effort. Their lack of effort. Have you ever noticed that all these folks who only come 1 hour a week or whatever, all these folks expect the building to be open, they expect it to be cool, they expect it to be heated, they expect it to be clean, they expect it to be paid for. They expect all the services to be manned by those who see that the job is completing, but they themselves cannot be counted on to faithfully help in any of these areas. In every congregation, there are a few so distant from the work and the members that the doors could be shut for a month or two before they ever knew it. These passages that we just looked at, these passages clearly indicate the will of God touching the matter of public worship. Then why is it so neglected? In every congregation, there are some members who view such gathering as entirely optional. How sad. But I tell you what, God certainly does not view worship to Him as optional. Think about it. There are some who will come to church when they don't have anything else to do. They will be absent because of ball practice or extracurricular school functions, family reunions, family holiday gatherings, you name it, whatever. They won't be here. Some who are careful to attend a Sunday morning service will skip the other opportunities to worship the same God and learn more of His Word. Why is that? Such behavior is rebellious against the Lord of glory. It places the convenience of the worship above the true object of worship. In essence, it says, I know what the Lord said, but I think, and you can fill in the blanks there. I know what the Lord said, but here's what I think. How does it compare with the early disciples of the Lord that we read of in Acts 2 and verse 42? Look with me. Acts 2 and verse 42. Let's see how it compares with those early disciples. And they, that's the disciples, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and men's prayers. They never quit. Never. However, this is not to say that we should not be interested in the work at other places. Nor that it is always wrong to be in attendance somewhere besides the local church. It's all right and even necessary at times to be away and visit occasionally with other churches. But listen to me now. No Christian should do so to the neglect of his responsibilities at home because of the biblical emphasis on the essentiality of local church membership. This is especially true in small congregations like here at Prairie Village. But I remind you that it was not easy for our Lord to leave His heavenly existence, take the form of a servant, suffer the toils of a peasant existence, and then to endure the indignities of His trials and then the agony of the cross. Think about it. Would you do this for Him? Would you do this for sinful mankind? Would you do this? Would you take the form of a servant? Would you suffer the toils of a peasant existence? Would you endure the indignities of the trial that He did? And then would you hang on that cross for Him or any sinful mankind? Bear Twain, think twice before you answer that. Just consider. What if Jesus had gone to a family reunion that day? What if that would have made Him miss a great sporting event? What if He was just too tired to come to services? And anyway, it's His day off. It's His only day off. I owe Prairie Village my financial support. God doesn't need our money. He owns the world. However, it is obviously required by the Lord that faithful Christians support the work of the Lord with their money. Over and above opportunities of giving and good works that we can do for individuals, we are commanded, the word commanded, to support the local treasury. We're all familiar with 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2 as well as 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And when we give, we are giving to the Lord. Understand that. When we give, we are giving to the Lord. Surely Acts chapter 5 and the account of Ananias and Sapphira makes that clear. So you may ask, does the church need it? Does the church need the money? Of course the church needs the money. Prairie Village will always have a need because the Lord expects us to be involved in evangelism and in teaching those who are already saved and benevolence for the saints in need. Yes, we need the money. Yes, the church at Prairie Village needs the money. There will never be a surplus of money above that need, not here where the saints are interested in doing the work of the Lord, the work that the Lord gave us to do, and not hoarding up of money. And as a member of Prairie Village, you and I have a responsibility. Yes, my brethren, you and I have a responsibility, but also it is a privilege to share in the support of this great work. And there's one more thing I'd like to mention that you owe to Prairie Village as a member here. You and I owe this local congregation a proper attitude towards each and every member of it. I need to love my brethren, and not only in word, but in deed also. We need to know we hear and we know of congregations that are split and divided by animosities and fussings within them. We all know churches that are having problems. But we all owe to the Lord and to the brethren to do as Paul commanded in Ephesians 4 and verse 3 when he wrote, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Look with me at Philippians chapter 2, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 2. Now there is joy. There is a joy of brotherhood and a blessing of unity that ought to prevail in a local congregation. One that is free from factions and strife. And this congregation will continue to function free of factions and strife as long as we all remember to adhere to Paul's exhortation in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And I'd like for us to read that together. Paul wrote in verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not at every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm only one, and you're only one. But this one is important. We will each stand before God in the judgment, and we will give an account of what we have done. And I know we all desire to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And we will hear it when we have used to our ability, to the glory of God. We'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Many Christians are not fervently for the Lord, nor are they against Him. They simply become indifferent towards Him and His cause. They are called lukewarm by the Lord. And it is said God will spew them out of His mouth in Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. So brethren, please hear me now. Please hear me. Life is drained from the local church because of membership indifference. Life is regularly drained from the local church because of membership indifference. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would. Second Peter chapter 1. Too many of us just simply will not listen to the admonition of the Lord. When Peter gave what we call the Christian graces, he concluded by warning in verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Brethren, God in His infinite wisdom has provided this congregational, local setting for His people so that we may grow together, encourage and be encouraged together, worship in peace and harmony together, and get a foretaste of heaven itself together. That is why He established the local congregations. So I ask you, if you're not a Christian, we plead with you. Plead with you to come forward and repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You then will be added to the Lord's church by the Lord Himself, and then you can declare your desire to be a working member here at Prairie Village. If there's anyone here who has left their first love, and you've sinned the way others are aware of, or maybe you haven't been coming to church as you should, which is a sin, then you can take care of that this morning too. You do that by coming forward. After you've repented to God, and let us pray with you and pray for you, then you'll be an active member in this local church here at Prairie Village. If we can help anyone this very morning, make your life right with God, don't hesitate. Come forward as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.